Welcome everyone to season two of Robin's Nest, episode 15. I would like to welcome everybody to this April edition. Before we get started today with our very special guest, Nirbhikar Khalsa, I would like to make a few announcements. First, I really want to thank everybody for their support last month. We had a fabulous guest on last month, Praga, and everyone loved him. We had over 200 downloads of our podcast, either through YouTube or through the podcast forum. You know, people listened to it in all different ways. And people were really, really intrigued by his story. He's a really fabulous human being. He was a very interesting guest. I really recommend anyone that has not listened to it, go back and listen to it. You can learn about his journey immigrating here from Sri Lanka when he was just 21 years old. And then he started his own business at 27. He's here by himself. His family is still in Sri Lanka. For those who don't know, and Nirbhikar to tell you, he is one of my tenants at my office. And as soon as he walked in the door, the very first time that I ever met him, within 10 minutes, I asked if he would be a guest on my podcast. It took about 6 months before he actually was a guest, but he just had that radiating energy that I just couldn't wait to talk to him and get to know him. So it was a great podcast. I really recommend everyone go back and listen to it. And lastly, this is super exciting. Starting next month, I am going to be doing a series on this podcast called Interview with a Stranger. And what I learned from Praga from last month is that there are certain people that I am just drawn to energetically, whether I know them or not. And I thought it would be really interesting if just while I'm out and about in my life, if I feel drawn to a human being, I am going to walk up to them and ask them if I can interview them for this podcast. So I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm very excited about it. I have already asked my first stranger, an artist in Key West. I just walked into her studio and it was just, she just had really great energy. And I asked her if she'd like to be on the pod and she said yes. So that hopefully, I haven't confirmed with her, but hopefully she'll be my next guest next month. But today, getting right into today, I am so excited to introduce to you today's guest, Nirbhikar Khalsa. Our listeners will probably remember the fabulous conversation I had with her husband, Mahan Rishi Singh Khalsa. And, you know, Mahan Rishi is a character, that's all I can say. You know, he was very challenging for me. You know, he was really helping me stretch out of my viewpoint in some ways. And Nirbhikar is someone who I have known for many, 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 many years. I met her about 15 years ago, I would say, at least 15 years ago, when I just started going to some yoga classes at her studio, which is called the Khalsa Healing Arts and Yoga Center, which is located in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And from the very first time I met you, Nirbhikar, you were very much one of these people that I was just talking about, like that I was just completely drawn into your energy. I can remember so many times where I would show up to yoga unhappy or just feeling off, and just being in your class was so transforming to me, truly transforming. There were so many times that I would show up to class, I'd be the only one there and you would still hold class. Sometimes we talked more than we did yoga, but we always got to the yoga. And you know, I just have such incredibly warm feelings toward you. And I don't even know if you remember this, but you and Mahan Rishi came to Arlie and Zoe were in the peace camp. At the Feast Center, yes, and they were in a show back when they were preschoolers.
Loved it.
Yeah, called The Wizard of Peace. And one day I was at your center and I'm just like, I gotta go, because this afternoon my kids are in a show called The Wizard of Peace, and you and Mahan Rishi are like, what time? And I'm like, they're not coming. Sure enough, there you were in the audience. So I'm just so excited to have you on today. There's so much to talk about. So let's just dive in because there's just too much. Okay, so why don't we start with the basics? Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, as much as you, you know, feel comfortable sharing about your journey from birth to present?
Well, I'm the oldest of six children. I was born in Royal Oak, Michigan. So I'm a Midwestern girl. And I started doing yoga in 1972 when a friend introduced me to Kundalini yoga. And he was able to share it with me for one evening. And then he left for an ashram in Española, New Mexico the next day. So I took what I remembered and practiced it every day. So it was something that instantly grabbed me. I just could not do anything different. I have to be honest, before that I had been married, not intentionally that he was going to be a drug dealer, but he was. He did become one as when we were married, and that relationship ended. But there were lots of things that I just needed to change my lifestyle. And I think that's why I dove so hard, was because I was not happy where I was and I needed to really make a shift. To make a long story short, ended up being engaged to somebody who lived here in Princeton, New Jersey. And I came here to live in an ashram here. And ended up marrying that man and had a child, but I had another child, so that would be my second child. But then he chose to leave, and as it turned out, the man that I'm married to now, Maharishi, was living in the ashram, and when I first met him, he's much younger than me, so who would have ever thought that anything like that would ever manifest?
Wow, that's quite the history. These are very juicy details I knew nothing about.
When we got married, Maharishi, we had just already started doing his prerequisites for chiropractic college. And then, of course, he started in 89, his practice. And I became his financial administrator. And then we eventually brought yoga into all of it. First, meditation. Because we would just do that in the receiving room for the chiropractic, and then we expanded into another space. Okay. Anyway, here we are, and we have an office in Yardley, and right now we are not doing any yoga there. We're doing it all online, and it's been very successful. We have people coming from Sweden and Florida and London and California.
Yes. Well, you're really well known around the world because you were doing a lot of teaching, you know, all over the place. You were always flying hither and yon. You know, sometimes I would show up for class with you and I would walk in and Maharishi would say, oh, she's traveling. And I would try to leave. And then he would say, no, I'm going to do the class. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to leave. And he says, no, you're going to do the class. And so I would do the class. But it wasn't quite the same easy energy that I was expecting, but you know, it had its own blessings with that. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, I agree. COVID has definitely opened up, you know, it certainly has closed some doors, but it has opened up many windows. Anyway, thank you for sharing all of that. That was really something. I have 3,000 questions about that, but I'm not sure our listeners want to know all the details that I want to know. So I'm going to move into the topics that we are going to talk about today. And there's so many. So let's dive in, as my daughter Arlie loves to say. So I want to start with talking about food. On a personal note, food is my greatest struggle. I have actually talked with Maharishi about this for many years. I have a sugar problem. Have been addicted to sugar, specifically chocolate, all my life. So, you know, I always am just so interested. I actually became, I'm not a vegan anymore. So in the spirit of full disclosure, I want to say that, but I became a vegan after meeting you. I was a vegan for probably 10 years after meeting you, because I just wanted what you had. And what I mean by that is your energy, your youth. Like, you just told me that Maharishi is much younger than you. I would never have guessed that. And I happen to know how old you are because we've talked about it, but you don't look anything close to your age. I mean, you look at least 15 years younger than your age, at least. So your spirit, your energy, your calm, your everything, I just wanted a taste of that. And so I was like, oh, being a vegan is going to make that happen. Sign me up. So I was a vegan for a long time. It wasn't a big leap because I was a vegetarian all my life. But then I took this big leap into the vegan world, and I did it for 10 years. And eventually, you know, I wasn't eating well enough to sustain it. I was eating far more sugar and carbs than I was eating whole foods and vegetables. And so I eventually started getting sick and started introducing eggs and dairy, which I know how you all feel about dairy. So let's not even go there with the dairy. I always picture Maharishi saying, it's like cheese is like sludge in your veins. Or what does he say? Yeah, that's what he says. Cheese is like sludge in your veins. So, and I think of him every time I eat it, and yet I'm eating it. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your journey with food. Especially, I know that so many people are struggling with this, and I know that your center every year does this amazing cleanse. I have never even come close to considering doing it.
It's really a lot of fun.
That's what I hear. I don't believe it, but I know people who have done it, and they love it. They absolutely love it. I am scared to death of it. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of the listeners have had very similar experiences that I have had in terms of not always having the healthiest relationship with food. And I would just love for you to share your journey, you know, with your relationship with food.
Well, when I was a young girl, especially a teenager, I got very bad acne. And you could say I look like a pizza face. Was so bad. And it was on my chest. It was on my back. My mom would take me to all these different dermatologists. They put dry ice on me. They would, of course, pop them open. And it was excruciating. We came to a doctor at some point in the process, years into having this acne. And he said, look at your diet. What are you eating? So I happen to really like the fat on meat. I was a meat eater at the time, and I don't know why I was attracted to it, but obviously it wasn't good for me because it was coming out on my skin. He says, take away all fried foods, all potato chips. He didn't take me off of meat. He just took me off of these heavy foods, and no chocolate and no Coca-Cola, all soft drinks like that. So I let all of that go, you know, French fries, things that a teenager would eat. And
it's so cute that you think only teenagers eat French fries. That's like my staple food. You know, foods that teenagers eat, like French fries. Okay, I'm like, Lair, take the French fries out of the oven. We're skipping them tonight.
Well, I guess I'm a little innocent to that. Well, anyway, I took all that away, and my face did start getting better. He also told me no, because they would give me these products that would dry the skin out, only to come back twice as oily. Mm-hmm. He said, none of that anymore. You're just going to take 3 times a day at least. You're going to wash your face with a clean washcloth. So we bought a lot of washcloths. I always had a pile of them there. I could just use warm water, wash the face off with the washcloth, and then I wasn't putting anything else on. So then when I eventually moved into the ashram, still having some acne, but not nearly as bad, but still there. We started making fresh juices every day, celery and carrot juice in particular, some cucumber, but mostly carrot and celery. And we know that the carrot has a lot of vitamin A in it, which is also very good for the skin. Cucumber, very good for the skin. Vitamin A is very good for the nervous system, which I needed as well. So within a matter of a year to 2 years of that, I didn't have any problems with my skin anymore. And because of a product that I use called Dr. Hauschka, it's a product from Germany, an organic product for the skin. They have a really nice cleanser, and it was made, I think it has almonds, I can't remember what it is, but it was like a little bit of an abrasion, and it's, the skin sort of sheds itself. But that, over the years, that's just been very good for my skin. And of course, then becoming a vegan made a difference as well, letting go of the dairy. So I, like most people, when I first became a vegetarian, and what you experienced, ate too many carbs. So I ate a lot of granola because it would fill me. Mm-hmm. And this is back in the very early 70s. So granola was a new thing, right? Everybody was eating granola. And my eyesight started getting odd. And I didn't notice that it was really that bad until I was driving. And I would go to park a car and I would scrape the car on the side of me because my perception was off. So someone had told me, at that time I was a manicurist, and she had told me about a chiropractor in Detroit, because I was living in mm-hmm. Birmingham area. And Dr. Goodhart happens to be the one who started the kinesiology technique. So that would be muscle testing. Mm-hmm. I went to see him. The place was packed. You had to wait an hour or more to get into the office. He detected that my adrenal glands were completely shot, that I had, because of my diet, had thrown my pancreas off. And so then I needed to watch what I was eating, which was way too many carbs. So then I went to my friend who I knew was a vegetarian, but a healthy vegetarian. And she invited me over to see foods that I could eat. Mm-hmm. She had a dining room table full of all these little bowls of different foods. Mm-hmm. The work that she must have put in to create this array of foods was amazing. And everything was more delicious than the other. So I knew there were plenty of foods that I could eat that I would like also. Mm-hmm. And so I started slowly letting go. At that point, I had said I was not going to eat any more meat, which I didn't. So I let go of the meat, then I let go of the fish, and then I let go of the eggs, and then the dairy eventually. But I had to be more mindful. So I took a cooking class I think it was in around 74 or 75 by a woman from Washington, D.C., who had a restaurant called the Golden Temple Restaurant in D.C. And I learned a lot of really scrumptious dishes. And from then on, I started teaching cooking classes.
Mm-hmm. You're an incredible cook. I've had many, many meals that you have prepared at the Peace Picnic and other events that you've had.
Thank you.
And it's so amazing, too, to even hear about your skin, because your skin just, you know, your skin is like porcelain today.
Yeah, thank you. But it's been work.
Wow.
And I think I find that if you're eating healthy food and you always have healthy food in your refrigerator and around you, and that's what I always tell people on the cleanse, make sure you have a pint or two of different berries, because if you need something, you can have a whole pint or two of raspberries. That's what I like. Yeah. And so that helps me in those crunches, because I don't want to go to, let's say, a bunch of dates, because that would be too much sugar for me. And I know how that would react. Not that I could never have a date, but that's not going to be my go-to. I can't let that be my go-to.
Okay.
It has to be something else that's healthier for me. Even if it's going to be a stalk of celery with some almond butter on it.
I'm not thinking that that's a good substitution for my French fries. I'm not sure it's gonna hit quite the same way. You know, we call that ants on a log. You know, that's what the kids call it. It's, you know, the celeries, and then you put the peanut butter and you put raisins on top.
It's fine. It's not like you had to do it for any particular reason. I mean, out of vanity, I really wanted to make sure I was doing something to get rid of the acne, because it was very unpleasant.
Yeah.
To have.
Wow.
Okay. Here I am teaching.
Here you are.
Teaching. I'm not doing cooking classes too much anymore, although as part of this cleanse, because it is on Zoom, we will be having some in the kitchen time, making some things, because it's another way to be able to interact with people.
Yeah. What would you suggest for people like me out there who are struggling with sugar, like a really strong addiction to sugar, or are terrified of doing a cleanse like the kind of cleanse that you do? What would you say to those people?
Well, some people have told me that if you're craving a lot of sweets, it really means your body needs protein. So let's look at the protein that you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get your protein?
I get it from some beans and tofu. I believe there is a lot of protein in greens as well. So I love steamed or sautéed Swiss chard.
Me too.
I like the rainbow of chards. I like collard greens. So those are a treat for me. But it's to be honest, it's still something that I'm looking at.
So much that I want to say about this. First, I want to say that, you know, from my years of being a vegan, I love vegan food. I mean, I crave vegan food a lot of the time. The problem is I now crave vegan food and non-vegan food. So that's a lot of food. Having a problem with quantity. So that's one thing I wanted to say. But, you know, I know that for myself, you know, when I think about doing any kind of cleanse, I go through, and, you know, again, I have Maharishi lives in my head. He really does. And one of the things that he says when you complain is basically, you're not going to die. Like, you can live through this, like, no matter what it is. Like, oh, I remember being in a yoga class and my leg fell asleep. So he doesn't care. So he's like, you know, your leg will be asleep and then eventually it'll wake up and it's okay. Like, it's, you know, to not feel like the need to scratch an itch and all those kinds of things. But when I think about, and when I have done cleanses in the past, the level of withdrawal symptoms that I go through, the migraine headaches, the cravings are just unbearable. And I know that I'm speaking for many people. People have a lot of fear around letting go of some of these foods, not only because they like them, that's just one part of it. It is your body gets used to it. And so when you take it away, your body starts screaming. And while I understand it's temporary, but that, ooh, is it rough to go through.
Yeah. Do you drink coffee?
No.
Oh, that's good, because that I would think be what would give you the headaches.
No, that's, I eat enough chocolate to have headaches when I withdraw from chocolate.
Oh, I see.
I mean, it is a struggle. So what would you say to people who say, you know, I can't let go of these things because my body, I don't want to go through these withdrawal symptoms?
Well, first of all, I don't think anyone should go cold turkey on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should say, okay, before I'm going to do a cleanse, I'm going to take 2 weeks and I'm going to wean myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we would say for coffee. A coffee drinker, somebody who's drinking 2 or 3 cups a day, let's say it's 3, you're going to cut down to 2 cups. And then about 5 days later, you're going to cut down to 1 cup.
Okay.
And then you're going to, in the last week, you're going to cut down to a half a cup until you get to a quarter of a cup of coffee. And then you can say goodbye.
And then that's true for chocolate too?
I would think so. Why wouldn't it be? It's the same kind of an addiction that you need. So you're letting yourself have that. And you're going to say to yourself, this is for a cleanse. So if it's a 40-day cleanse, which is what we're doing, I can live without it for 40 days.
Mm-hmm. For those people out here, out there who are really ready to do a cleanse, this is actually being recorded a few days. This is being recorded before the cleanse starts, but you're going to be hearing it a few days after the cleanse starts. But there are ways to do the cleanse that you could maybe jump in. So if you are interested, you can contact Nirvikar, and I'm going to tell you how to contact her later in the pod. So, okay, we have to, we could talk about food, come on, all day, for sure. I mean, any of these topics we could be talking about for a long time, but for the sake of time, let's move on to our next topic.
Okay.
Which is spirituality. You know, I've had a lot of people, when they knew that you were coming on, say that they wanted to hear you speak about your spiritual life, what your spiritual life looks like for you, what your belief system is.
Well, I believe that there's one God and that we're all on the same path. Some people just call it a different name or whatever, but it's all the same to me. I believe it's universal spirit. I personally am a Sikh, but my concept universally is that it's there's a oneness, there's a connection. It's like you and I have different faiths, but there's no, it's not that's holding us together. It's the spirit, it's the soul. We have this connection that when we see each other, we light up. We know that the heart is open. And that's the oneness that I seek in spirituality, and what I find is the deeper connection. And I love that the concept that the universe has our back.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with any, could not agree more with everything you said. And that's probably why I stayed at your center for so long, was because I felt so connected there spiritually. And I felt, I can even remember, and I won't go into the details of this out of respect for people that may not want me to share it. But there was a family secret that came out in my family many years ago. And I absolutely believe to this day that the reason this family secret came out was because I kept chanting Sat Nam over and over and over again. And one day I came in, I didn't even know what Sat Nam meant. So I said to you one day, what does the word Sat Nam mean? And you said, truth is my name, basically, truth. And then I realized that the more I was chanting Sat Nam, the more truth was coming out in my life. And I believe that, you know, I'm a psychotherapist, as I know my listeners know, and I know that you know. But one of the beliefs that I have that I, you know, I've been in practice for over 30 years. And I think one of the biggest misconceptions parents have is that we're here to teach our children. And my experience is that our children are here to teach us, that their souls came to this world with a very specific agenda, and they pick the parents that they want to help. And we either get the message or we don't get the message. And we make their journey either more difficult or less difficult, or the assignment that they were given less difficult or more difficult. But I feel very much the same, that we are all very much connected. And there was something that you just said at the end. What was the very last thing that you said?
That the universe has our back?
Yes, that's what I wanted to comment on. Whenever people ask me, you know, do you believe in God? Like, I find the question funny, because it's, to me, it's not a belief system. It's a knowing. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is such a knowing. And I always, it's just so interesting that you use that specific language when you were describing your belief system, because I always say, I feel like I am being taken care of all of the time, all of the time. I just feel like if, you know, there's a traffic jam over here, I'm so thankful, you know, it's protected, the universe is protecting me from danger ahead, or like, I really do feel like the universe is working on my behalf all the time. And I feel very, very protected. And it's a really nice feeling. And, you know, in my practice, it's interesting for me to see, you know, the psychological issues that people come into my office with. And you can split people kind of down the middle of people that have a faith experience and people who don't. And the people who don't are really struggling so much more than the people that do, no matter what your faith is. Like you were saying, it doesn't matter what faith you come from. You this always have
thing this time with the yoga is that it also seems to enhance whatever your faith is. It's not like you have to believe this yoga or whatever we're doing in yoga. No, it's gonna enhance who you are, and your whole belief system is gonna get empowered through working on yourself, because you can't help but if you're working on here, the whole soul area is getting expanded.
And how did you come to this? Were you raised this way? Did you believe this from the time you were born? Like when you were a child? Right? Your whole spiritual belief system.
Now as a Sikh, I got into that with moving into the ashram. But before that, my family were, my mom was a Methodist, my father was Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. I had a very devout and spiritual grandmother on my dad's side. And something happened with my dad. He was a landscaper. And the church that we were at wanted him to do the landscaping. Mm-hmm. And he said, fine. He gave them a bill to get started, because that's usually the protocol. You get something in the middle, at the beginning, middle, and the end. But they kept saying, oh, we'll get it to you. They never gave it to him. They said, this can be your tithing. And they didn't give him to him. Remember, he's a father of six kids. He had his own business, and he needed that money. He just couldn't just take all his men over there and bring all the supplies and stuff and do that and not get anything. And so when he came home one day, and I remember being there and him saying, I don't need to go there to believe in God. If I don't have God in my own home, I don't have God at all. And that stayed with me. So it didn't matter where I was or what I believed. If I didn't know that God was in my own heart, it didn't matter. Then there wasn't a God. If it couldn't live here all the time, it wasn't true.
Yes. Yes. And I'm curious to know, how does that experience, what you just were describing, you know, knowing that God lives within you and you can take that universal energy with you everywhere, how does that play out when you come up against someone in your life, some relationship where someone is either believing in or behaving in a way that is very, very much the opposite of love and connection and God? How do you interact with an energy that is very different than yours?
Well, I'm sure that every situation is going to have a little bit different answer to that, but let's
kind of have anyone in your life?
I'm trying to think of someone. I can say that I do have someone in my life who has a different belief system than I do on some levels. And it's sad for me that we don't have the same belief systems in a very important area. And at the same time, my love for that person is still so strong. I have to relate to that we do get along on and let the other part go. I'm referring to politics.
Yeah, I figured. Uh-huh. I think we've talked about this before, actually, because you probably know that I have a brother who is a Trump supporter, but again, not just a Trump supporter, somebody who really believes in that whole QAnon alternate reality. And unfortunately, I have not been able to maintain a relationship with him. And I miss him a lot. you know, I do love him, exactly what you just said, but I have not been able to find that place that it sounds like you've been able to find with, I think it was a sibling for you as well.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that I have a lot of communication, and sometimes when in the communication it's brought up, and then I have to just remind us that we're here because of love, not because of those beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Except your belief is of love. that's where it gets tricky for me, you know, and this is where me and Maharishi, you know, went at it with each other for a little bit as well, because, you know, and I had this wonderful guest on, I don't know if you heard it, his name was Olu Paul, and he talked about being Black in America, and he was talking, you know, he has very similar beliefs as you guys, in terms of very accepting, and when he was talking, he has Trump supporting friends, and I said, you know, what does that feel like to you when these people, these friends of yours, are supporting a movement that is hurting your people? Like, how do you reconcile that? And he said, yeah, but I know that they're good people. And I get really caught up in that, because, you know, how are you a quote unquote good person if you are supporting wanting to hang Black people or eliminate Jews? How can you say, yeah, but they're really nice otherwise? You know, that's sort of like, you know, oh, they're really sweet when they're not drunk. You're like, but they are drunk. You know, so, you know, I just wonder how you manage that. And it sounds like, you know, you just kind of hold your person in your heart and send a lot of love. And I do that with my brother too. I hold him in my heart. I send him lots of love. But we are, this is not my, I only have one sibling. This is it.
Yeah, it's a hard place to be. And, you know, because it's siblings, you can feel there's more of a connection. But let's say somebody is not a sibling, then you can make a choice. You just aren't around those people as much, or you have a communication that that recently someone said something to me, and I says, can you explain what that means for you? What am I missing? And but then, you know, you have to know when to be able to cut it off, because then you've given them the power to be able to keep up with that conversation that you normally would not want to go into that
topic.
So it depended upon the person, and that person I was fortunately able to do that to. And at some point we did say in agreement, let's stop it before we go any further. And we were able to move on into something totally different that was a mutual a compatible conversation that we could get into. And that's what we did.
Yeah, I hear that, you know, and I've been told this before, you know, like, just don't talk about these topics, but these topics are kind of my life. You know, it's sort of like asking me not to be a woman, you know, put being a woman aside for the conversation, put being a Jew aside for the conversation, put being a mother or a godly person aside. I can't. I don't have that ability.
Well, this particular person that I'm referring to was a very, very good friend for many years, like 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised when she said that she was holding these beliefs. So that's why I felt it was okay for me to ask her to share where she was. And I felt blessed that she was willing to stop it when it got to be too much into that conversation. And that we can, hopefully, we haven't gotten together yet since that conversation, since that time, but I'm hoping that we can do other things. And I've decided to not just be sitting like you and I are sitting and chatting, we're gonna go do something. So we're gonna channel our energy into being someplace else and doing something, take a walk in a park or go to Longwood Gardens or something like that, that's gonna hold another kind of interest for us.
But you're okay with her being on the side of white supremacy and all that kind of stuff. You are able to separate that out?
I don't think that's where she thinks. I think there's parts of that that she's into and parts of it that she's not. I can't see her being a white supremacist, to be quite honest.
Okay.
That's not who she is.
Okay.
I think there's parts of that she's identifying with, but I think there's other parts that she's not. But I haven't asked those questions.
Yeah, and you're not going to.
I might not. Because I love her and I really want to be able to be with her.
Yes, I hear that.
If we can do that.
I hear that, and I would love to develop that skill. And I put out there on the pod many times, I'll do it again today, that if my brother's listening and he wants to have a conversation and we can find a way to have a relationship and keep all the politics out of it, I would be more than open to it. I keep putting it out energetically, and if he's ready, he'll come.
That's right. And it probably will happen because you are putting it out there. So when it does happen, you need to take a lot of deep breaths.
That's why I was asking you when yoga's starting back up in person. Yeah, because it's
online, they're still very good.
I know. I believe you completely because, I'm doing my psychotherapy practice online and I'm blown away at how fine it is. I never would have thought that it wouldn't be. I never would have thought I would be so comfortable as I am and how effective it is. So I believe completely that it's great. But for me personally, I'm on Zoom way too much for my work that I can't connect it to relaxing and connecting to my body.
Well, the beauty is that you're in Florida right now, so you're getting lots of fresh air.
Yeah.
And you can go out a lot. Well, yes, up here, we haven't been able to do that.
Yes,
I know. You can go out, but it's cold.
I know, I'm not a fan.
Spring is starting and today's been raining, but it's spring is in the air.
Well, I will be looking to see when you're coming back and I will be there when you are. Great. So we have to move on to the Q&A section of our podcast. So I asked our listeners for questions and we only got a few. One was, I'll just start with the one for you. One of the listeners would like to know how yoga has changed your life. Can you describe how yoga has changed your life?
Well, I think I shared that in the beginning, that starting yoga definitely directed my energy away from drugs, into more of a holistic approach to life, via food, via exercise, via the company that I kept. I totally changed who I hung around with. I moved into a community of people that were doing like-minded things. So it affected me in a big way. It wasn't just something that I did on a certain day of the week. It was something that I did every morning, early in the morning, getting up at 3 and 3:30 in the morning to do yoga.
You are one committed lady, I'll tell you that.
I won't say I'm that committed now, but I was then.
You're still pretty committed. I know you at times have got get up at sunrise and all of that. Yeah. How would you say that yoga has affected your health?
I think it's helped me a lot. I mean, there are times that I have injured myself for one reason or another, and it's always been the yoga that's brought me back. First, it was through pranayama. Lots of deep breathing, because the breathing would give me more oxygen, but it was also give me more life force that I could then just begin to do things and then start moving my body more. So yeah, it's healed me on many levels, physically, mentally, and spiritually, I would say.
Yes. I struggle, I'm going through menopause, so I struggle with sleep a lot. And people are always recommending to me like sleep apps on the phone, that does not help me. And the only thing that helps me is breathing in sat and breathing out nam. And if I can do that, I can usually fall asleep.
Obviously, yeah.
And I think it's because it's affecting me on every level, Okay, so one of the questions that I received.
Thank you for sharing that sat nam.
Yes, and I got that from you.
I do the same thing.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you? I spend a lot of time talking about politics on this podcast. I'm getting away from that now a little bit. But someone asked what my thoughts are on the Biden administration so far.
Well, I like to look at the positive of everything anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think he's accomplished a lot already. Mm-hmm. And I'm anxious to see where else it goes. I think that there's lots of potential.
Yes.
And he has certainly a great agenda.
Yes.
And if it can all happen, I think that America will be in a good place.
Yes. And I feel like I can breathe. I feel like I've been holding my breath for 4 years, and now I feel like I can breathe. I watch a whole lot less news than I ever did over the 4 years. I think there was a part of me, a very hypervigilant part of me, was terrified all the time during the 4 years. And somehow if I watched the news and I could get ahead of whatever was happening, I could be safe. And now I have to remind myself, wow, it's been like 10 days since I've turned on the news. I should probably find out what's going on in the world. And so that is how the Biden administration is going for me. I feel calmer. I feel like an adult is in charge. I feel like we are on the path of healing. We have a long way to go, a very long way to go. But I just feel like we're at least on the path where we needed to be. And so I'm very grateful, and I'm feeling much calmer than I ever have.
Yeah, okay. I prefer to also not look,
yeah,
be looking at all the hateful things, mm-hmm, but rather to look maybe at the suffering that happened, and how can I do my part in relieving that suffering. So I feel like the more people that we can connect with in a positive way, to bring them into their positive selves, that's going to ripple out.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Okay. Two more questions. What is your tip, or both of us, this was to both of us, so I'll ask you first. What is your tip for a healthy relationship?
I think in relationship, the biggest thing that I noticed a shift with, now remember, I've been married 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at each of them.
I just learned that today. I knew one. I knew two. I didn't know three.
So I think that we all need to be appreciated more. And if we're looking for that, so are they. So if you can be the bigger one to give that, well, what a great idea, says a lot. So that let's say they're just going to choose a different path to go someplace, driving somewhere. So, oh, that's a good idea. Or I'm trying to think of something Mani Maharishi did that I compliment him a lot. And it doesn't sound like a superficial anything. I mean, it's something that I sincerely feel. And I used to think that Maharishi didn't need any compliments because he always did things and didn't say anything. So you'd have to find that out on your own. Like he would just do things and then you noticed it. But I didn't say anything because I figured that's just what he wants, because he doesn't really need to be acknowledged. But that wasn't so. I noticed there was something going on in our relationship that wasn't quite right. And I started thinking, what is it? And then one day I acknowledged something and I could see a difference. And I don't do it because I want to have him make him feel better. It just seems to be a part of our relationship now. There's a lot of gratitude from both of us that we appreciate who each of us are in this world and the opportunity that we've been given to be together.
I love that. I love that. Oh, that's great. I would say, from my perspective, humor. You know, not taking anything too seriously. I don't care what it is. I don't care how angry you think you are. There's something funny in it. And find a way to laugh about it. And I would say that's probably the greatest strength of my marriage, is that Larry is hilarious. And so I'll be really upset about something and he'll just say something. And it's sort of in a way making fun of me, but in the most loving way. because I know I am a certain way. So then he'll point out that I am that way. And then I start laughing because he's right. And then it just softens everything. I find that laughing softens everything. So I would just say to the listeners not to take anything too seriously. Find the humor in every situation that you possibly can. Life is hard. Marriage is messy. We got to laugh. We got to laugh through it.
Yeah. Thank goodness he's so funny. Yeah. And Rishi's the same way. And that really is perfect. It's a necessary ingredient for sure for a good relationship.
Absolutely. Okay. And then the last question that we have is, what would you tell someone who's looking to have a deeper relationship with God?
To give time every day to that relationship. If you want to have a relationship with God, you've got to give time to that relationship.
Yes.
So whether it's going to be through yoga or meditation or reading a scripture or just sitting and having a cup of tea by yourself and just reflecting to the depth of your soul, that would be how I would do it. There's so many great readings now that you can do, poems you can read that'll help bring up something that way. It's giving time to it. It's not going to manifest just because you want it to manifest, or you're not going to do anything to make it happen. You've got to put forth the energy. So every day.
Yes, I agree. For me, it really comes down to something super simple, which is just really paying attention. If you just live your life and really pay attention, you will see things happening that there is no other explanation except for God. I'll give you just the simplest thing that happens when Larry and I went to the Florida Keys for a couple of days. And we left our, now it is not close to where we currently are in Hollywood, Florida. It's a good 4-hour drive to where we stayed. And we leave the hotel room and we go to our car. And one of the cleaning ladies, now nobody was coming in because of COVID. So nobody came into our room the whole time we were there, but they have to, of course, clean it for the next guest. The cleaning people were, you know, just in the facility, and she yells to me, "Oh, are you out? Like, can we clean your office? Your hotel room?" And I said, Yeah, we're leaving. She says, "Okay." And for reasons except the only explanation I have is God. She ran into the hotel room for a second. She just ran in. She wasn't cleaning it. She was doing 3 other rooms. She just ran in. And in her running in, we left a bag of some of the most important stuff, my glasses, all kinds of food that we, like all of our souvenirs, really important stuff in a bag on the kitchen counter, none of which would we have known was missing until we arrived home 4 hours later. And she, for whatever reason, ran in and ran out and ran after me in the car. You left a bag. Those kinds of moments of like, wow, how lucky was that? Oh, how lucky was that? That happens to me 25,000 times a day. And if you're paying attention to just how lucky you are, you know how taken care of by the universe you are. Like whenever I get on an airplane, I always say a prayer. And the prayer is always the same. And it is, you know, keeping myself safe to gently lift the plane, carry it to my destination, gently put it down, keep me healthy, keep everyone else healthy. And because I've asked, I know it's already done. And I do. So I can now relax. I've asked, and I know if I asked, it's already done. And if my prayers don't get answered, it's because it's not in my best interest. And I trust the universe to have much greater wisdom than me. And so if the universe puts some obstacle in my way, I know it is for my best interest, because going back full circle to paying attention, it always is. Everything that has happened that has been a block in my life has given birth to something so much better, if you can trust it. So that would be my recommendation. Really pay attention. really pay attention to what happens to you in the course of a day and how lucky you are to wake up, to breathe, to have health, and on it goes. So we could talk about this.
I love that you brought in the second part of that.
Which part?
When it doesn't work the way you thought it was going to, you're being, there's a minute block, there's a reason, a better, a higher reason for that.
But trusting that, trusting that is everything in terms of peace in your life. And Can you trust that?
That's a key part of it as well, because a lot of people would say, no, I got it. You know better than I. You know what's down the road. This is going to direct us in a better direction. Yes. And going to sleep, I would add that going to sleep at night, thanks for the great day, God.
Yes.
Good night.
Yes. Yes. And I can hardly wait for tomorrow. What? I had salad for dinner last night. It was so good. And all I kept saying all through the meal was how delicious the salad was. And I cannot wait for lunch tomorrow for the leftovers. It was, just the excitement. This is what I mean when I say paying attention. Like, everyone else might just be eating the salad and not think much about it. But this salad was particularly delicious. It was so good. And all I could think of is I'm loving it now. And I have something to look forward to tomorrow. These are the moments that I feel connected to God. Like, how lucky I am to have this delicious, healthy meal. And that somebody prepared it for me. And if you're paying attention to these little details all day long, you will feel a deeper connection to God.
And don't you think it also brings more joy into your life?
Yes, and peace. It's so much peace. Because even if it's not always joy, like, I'm not always feeling joyous when I'm sitting in a traffic jam, but I am feeling peace that it's protected me from something else. And peace is its own version of joy. Right? So anyway.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much
for being here. Asking me. This is a real honor.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for coming, for being here, for talking to me, for being so honest, for sharing your wisdom, for just being the beautiful being of light that you are. Thank you. You're such a being of light. And I love having you in my life, and I can't wait till we're together again and I can come back. And if anyone out there would like to reach Nir Bakar or access any of the amazing events and classes that are offered, you can reach her at callsahealing.com. And find out all of the fabulous things that they're doing. And I told this to Maharishi, I'll tell it to you if I haven't told you before. I used to send my clients to your center to sit in the waiting room just to feel the energy of the space, because the energy and the pure love and the pure joy that you radiate, you and Maharishi radiate, is so delicious, for lack of a better word, that I just wanted people to sit in the space. And so I would send people over when my office was in the same place that your office was. And I would just say, just sit in the waiting room. And they would go and they would just sit in the waiting room and they would come back and feel better. And I'm like, I know. And imagine if you took a class. And so I really encourage everybody out there to sample some of Maharishi's and Nir Bakar's classes at the center, and all of the other wonderful teachers. I've never had a class there that I did not love. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you again. Bye, everyone. Bye.